going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to do the first 8 verses because they're all on the common subject of charity, And so let's read the passage. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll dive right into our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 31 to lead in, and then we'll do verse 13. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you, watch it, a more excellent way. So Paul changes the subject from spiritual gifts now to what he now calls the more excellent way. The more excellent way is the way of charity. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Doyle, why don't you pray for us and pray for the preachers that we're praying for this morning, and we'll go right into the study. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, so Paul exhorts us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the last verse to follow the more excellent way of charity. So in the passage we read, he's elaborated on charity in great detail. And what he shows us is that charity is essential. It is essential to our Christian lives. It is commanded in our Christian lives. It's something for which we are responsible. And then he shows us also in this passage what charity accomplishes when we have it. So first thing we want to notice in this passage is that charity is commanded by the Lord. In other words, you keep seeing this thing, charity, if I don't have it, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm nothing. It profiteth me nothing if I do all these things and have not charity. Charity is commanded by the Lord. Now, if you read what other people have to say about charity, they'll go to Greek, they'll go to dictionaries, they'll try to find some way to give you some meaning of the word that's profound. But when you just check the cross references on charity, you know what charity is in its simplest form? It's the second commandment. That's what it is. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's charity. And it's so what it is, it's very consistent with what the Lord has told us throughout the Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at some references. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at a lot of Bible this morning, which we usually do in Sunday school. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment. That is the objective, the goal, the direction of the commandment. The end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. So the end of the commandment is charity. That's the objective. That's the fulfillment of the law. When Jesus was questioned by the attorney or the lawyer in Matthew chapter 22, when they were trying to get him to say something that they could then use against him at a trial, he said, what's the great commandment? And Jesus said, the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. It's charity. The second commandment in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Turn to Romans chapter 13. We're in the New Testament. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, Paul exhorts us that we are to be subject to the powers, that is, the authorities that are in our lives. Because they're ordained of God, they are ministers for righteousness. police officers and that kind of thing. Those, they're ministers. I got pulled over one time, long time ago, and I said to the guy, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I said, and in my Bible, I read that you are too. And he said, I am. You're absolutely right. He said, that's Romans chapter 13. I said, yeah. You going to let me off? No, I got the ticket anyway. You know, I can't make pecan pie, so I thought I'd try that angle, but he knew his job. Anyway, and after he runs that out for us, then watch what he says in verse 9. Verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't commit adultery, you don't kill, you don't steal, and you don't bear false witness and covet. That's charity. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. They were struggling in Galatia with the law being imposed on the new converts, particularly the Gentile converts. And Paul was like, man, you don't need to do that. Here's one of the reasons. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's interesting in verse 14 that he said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, and then he gave us 7 words. What's the one word in those 7 words that fulfills the law? Love, charity. Charity. James chapter 2, verse 8. James calls the second commandment the royal law. And he said, if you fulfill that commandment, you do well. Now, Jesus Christ strengthened that commandment in John chapter 13. Look at John chapter 13. We know, and has been repeated by Paul in the New Testament and by James, love thy neighbor as thyself. John chapter 13, Jesus tightened it up just like he did the law on adultery, just like he did the law on murder. He tightened it up a little bit. John chapter 13, he says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's not new. But look what he says. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. He tightened it up in that he said, I'm not just asking you to love them as you love yourself. I'm asking you to love them the way I love them. That's charity. That's charity. Some people say, well, you know, it's agape or whatever. You don't even know what agape is. I mean, you don't speak Greek. Okay? So why would I say that? Somebody, they got up here, well, charity is agape love. Okay, that really helps me. How do I do that? But you can see this. And it's very consistent with the way that the Bible is written. So charity is, first of all, it's commanded by the Lord. All right, secondly, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Secondly, not only is it commanded by the Lord, and you see it both in the Old and in the New Testament, and even tougher in the New Testament, but charity, listen, is our essential responsibility. Charity is our essential responsibility. Look in the first 3 verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Paul did speak with tongues a lot. He was able to communicate where he went in many, many different regions. To people, he didn't have to learn their languages. God gifted him with the ability to speak to them in their language. But he said, if I did that without charity, you might as well just sound a gong. Boom. He says in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, and he did, there are all kinds of prophecies that he has revealed to us, and understand all mysteries. There's 7 of them, and he gave us as good an understanding as you can have about a mystery. And all knowledge, and Paul was given this great revelation from God over and over again. He had all that, and he had a lot of faith. He didn't move any mountains, but a lot of things were done because of his faith. He said, if I had all of that and didn't have charity, I'm nothing. Now, do you see, Paul was filled with the Spirit of God, and he had these things. You don't have the things that Paul had unless the Spirit of God has filled you. And yet he says it's possible to have these things and yet not have charity. What he's saying is charity is our responsibility, and it's essential in that if we don't have it, the things we are doing by the Spirit of God amount to nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he did. He died like Jesus did, penniless. And though I give my body to be burned, they didn't burn him, I don't think, when they killed him, but they executed him for Jesus Christ. And have not charity, you know what? He said, it profiteth me nothing. That is, I'll get to the judgment seat of Christ, and all this is for naught. Wow. That means charity is a big, 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 big deal. Charity, and it's also our responsibility. It's something that's given to each of us that we must do. See, we know that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have a component of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, he said the fruit of the Spirit is. He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. He said the fruit of the Spirit is. And then he defines it the same way that you would if you were describing an apple. An apple is an apple, but it has a peel. It has a core. It has the fruit. It has the seeds. It has the stem. That is all these components. But you look at that one thing and you say, this is an apple. This is the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first thing on the list? Love. So if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have love, but Paul is saying it's possible to do things by the Spirit of God and not do those things with charity. So charity is something we do. Charity is something for which we are responsible. It can determine the outcome of our labors. It can determine the outcome of our judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there's no doubt that the Spirit of God strengthens us in charity. The love of God, Romans 5:5 said, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about that. But I have seen people who are saved, they've got a great testimony and all that, and I mean just be wicked to their brothers. You ever seen that? You ever been that? So no doubt the Spirit of God strengthens us. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. In this area, because he knows the weakness of our flesh. And so he doesn't depend upon us to be able to do this in our flesh. This is something that must be done in our lives through the new man. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 14 again. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But, if you bite and devour one another. Have you ever been involved in a church split? That's Galatians 5:15. Take heed that you be not consumed one another. That's some pretty big biting going on there. Where's old John? We consumed him. Well, he had it coming. So he says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, and so you're able then to accomplish this. So charity is something I know I'm responsible for, but I get to look to the Spirit of God to give me the strength in my own weakness in the new man to be able to accomplish that for which I am responsible. So charity is essential to the effectiveness and to the profitability of the work we do. Everything you do in service to one another, in love for one another, if it's done with charity, may not look like much to anybody else, but boy, it looks like a lot to God, and it's profitable. I'll tell you one time, I've used this illustration before, but many years ago, many years ago, back when the rescue missions were the big thing in the United States, there was a very well-known evangelist that was invited in by the director of the rescue mission. And the rescue mission was big, and it had a lot of men that came to it, needed the help. He was a big-name evangelist. They were excited about hearing him. He got up there, and he gave one of his burning messages, and then offered an invitation, and nothing happened. Nobody moved. And at that time, you know, it was very common. You respond oftentimes to the messages, go home and don't make a trip to the altar. This is not a gauge of how good my sermon was or how well you received it, because you have to deal with these things at home and live by them for the rest of your life. So a display here is not going to mean much if it doesn't change your life. But then those altar calls were a big, big part of the response of people to the preaching of the Word of God. And he got up there, and I mean, he gave a moving invitation. Nobody moved. Then the director got up there, who was an old man. He was dull personality. He got there. He said, "I know God's moved in our midst today. Really dealt with y'all souls. And you know, if the Spirit of God's talking to you about what you've heard today, the altar's just full." And like, what happened? That guy loved those people. And they knew it. The evangelist was in there just doing what he does. The old man loved them, prayed for them, cared for them, and they knew it. And boy, when he told them to respond to God, if God dealt with them, they responded to him. They always say that thing, they'll never care what you know unless they know that you care. There's truth in that. There's truth in that, and that's our responsibility. So if you do what you do for the Lord, and you do it out of charity for him and for each other, God makes that extremely profitable, whether it catches the attention of anybody else in the room or not. Doesn't make any difference, because God knows your motive. Now, charity is commanded by the Lord. It is our essential responsibility. In other words, it's the most important responsibility that we have. And then charity, listen, charity is the key to lasting relationships. Charity is the key to lasting relationships. You know, two people who are married may not have a relationship with each other that looks like much to you, but boy, if they deeply love each other, they got the bond that's going to keep them together all the way to the end of their vows. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Now, from here to the end of verse, up to the middle of verse 8 where we read, Paul enumerates, he lists the numerous qualities of charity so that you and I will know exactly what it is and will know what's needed in order for us to be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, when you have charity, you're going to be doing the things you see in this list, and you're not going to be doing the things that are in this list that you're not supposed to do. And truly, if you love but you don't see these qualities in your love, then you know, as Paul said, you have not charity. It's not the end of the world. You can take the instruction from today and get to work on it. I'll guarantee you. And I'm not proud to say this, but it's just the truth. When I came out of Bible college, knowledge puffeth up. And I knew a lot of Bible. I was very well trained. I was given a great foundation so that my faith in the words of God wouldn't slide off into so many of the false doctrines that take men out in the ministry. I was well trained, but knowledge puffeth up. And I came out with a head full of that stuff, and I wanted everybody to know that I knew more Bible than they did. Bless God, and I'm going to teach it to you. But I'll guarantee you, I didn't have charity. I didn't love those folks. Not like I love you. And that God had to deal with me about that. And you know what it did? It changed everything. It changed my attitude about preaching. It changed my attitude toward sheep. I think it changed the sheep's attitude toward me. You wouldn't want to have been under my preaching 25 years ago. You'd be like, ah. I mean, I went back and looked at the first 10 years of sermons I preached, ripped up every one of them, threw them away. You say, why? Everything was negative. You know why you'll never be a good Christian? You know why you'll never lead a soul to Christ? You know you'll never give your money to Jesus? That everything was negative. I don't need to dwell on that. You guys are looking at me like, are you? It's like I'm talking about somebody you don't even know, but I'm telling you. I know what it's like to do this without charity, and then I've been taught by the Lord. And I believe I love you as much as I possibly can, and I hope to be able to love you more. I really do. I think I can see one or two of these qualities in my love for you now. I hope to see them all one day. Charity is long-suffering and kind. That's what it says. Suffereth long and is kind. Verse 4. When you have charity, you know what you can do? You can put up with things from others for a long time. You say, I don't like to do that. Yeah, but you love them. And so you put up with their faults. A woman and her husband had been married for 50 years, and the granddaughter was going to get married that year. And so they went to the anniversary, the 50th anniversary, the big shindig that the family put on. And she said, Grandmother, I want to ask you a question. You know, I'm getting ready to get married. How is it that you and Grandpa had such a beautifully happy marriage all these 50 years? She said, oh, honey, it's very simple. Before we married, I made a list of the 10 worst faults he had. Then I tore up the list and never referred to him again. You just need to digest that for a while. You know, the faults never changed. She just decided not to, right? Dwell on those. You can dwell on her love for him. Listen, when you have charity, you can put up with things for a long time, just like Jesus did. And you can even be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Look how Jesus did this. Luke chapter 6. You realize, Luke chapter 6, verse 35, you realize that the work of the Spirit of God in your life and in my life is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to do. So you are going to take on characteristics of his love. Well, look at his love. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love ye your enemies. And you say, fat chance. Well, it'll change. Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward should be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Watch it. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, when you realize what God's done for you, it changed your life. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, when you read your New Testament, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When you read your New Testament, you go through there and you see Paul had to deal with some serious problems in Galatia, 6 chapters. Had to leave a testimony to the Hebrews that are going to be responsible for many Hebrews getting saved in the tribulation. Hebrews, 13 chapters. He wrote to the Ephesians, one of the great churches, and the Philippians, one of the great churches, 6 chapters and 4 chapters. He wrote to the Corinthians, 16 chapters in the first epistle and 13 chapters in the second epistle, and they were carnal Christians. He was with them for a year and a half, and look at the shape they were in. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You know what that was? Charity. The more he put into his love for them, the less they loved him. You can't do that unless you have charity. 29 chapters devoted to the Corinthians. That's love, man. That's charity. And you got to have it. Not only is charity long-suffering and kind, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity has some other qualities that it's not. In other words, a lot of times you can understand what something is by saying what it's not. You know, I say to you, if I'm wearing a white shirt, they say, what does a black shirt look like? Well, it doesn't look like this. Okay, you know, it's exactly the opposite of this. Charity, he says, is envieth not, verse 4. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked. All right, so it's not envious, it's not boastful, not proud, not unseemly, not self-seeking, not easily provoked. You know, we'll look at some of these applications. When you have charity, you know what you won't do? You won't envy what other people have, whether they're sinners or whether they're saints. It'll take away the envy. You turn to Proverbs chapter 23. When I got into the business world, I'd gone to Baptist church through college. When I got in the business world, I did this right here. Envied sinners. I thought they had it better than I did. So I pursued the things that they pursued. I found out many years later they didn't have it better. They had it much worse, but I didn't know that. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners. You know what draws young people out of church? They come up through high school and then they get into college. You know what draws them out? They think the sinners have it better than they do. And they want that. They want to be able to fornicate or drink or go to the movies that are not good for them to see or party or be cool or be accepted. And they want to do all that. And those are temptations in the flesh that have to be reined in, but what draws them away is the envy for sinners. If they had charity, they wouldn't do that. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And you won't envy each other. I mean, somebody looks at somebody and goes, wow, he gets to preach and I just get to do this. Don't envy that. With charity, you look at that and the person who gets to preach looks at the other person and says, thank God I couldn't do this without you. And the person does that, thanks. Thank God you get to do that and I get to do what I'm doing. It's not envious. Charity is not boastful. It's not boastful. Vaunteth not itself, the Bible says. It's not boastful. You know what that is? Just bragging on yourself. Do you remember when you were younger, being around a braggadocious person? Did it just get make you sick? Did you used to be that person? You won't boast and you won't be proud. Proud is a haughty, arrogant spirit, a superior spirit. You won't be like that. Why? Because when you have charity, you know what you do? You brag on God. The attention constantly goes to the Lord. Another thing you won't do if you have charity is you won't say things or do things that are unbecoming to a saint or that are out of character for a saint of God to do. Now, Paul spent a lot of time talking to the Corinthians about this. He says, I know you guys have the liberty to do anything. You're not under the law. You're under grace. But I know you restrain yourselves because of charity and don't do certain of these things because you don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. You don't want to hurt somebody else's faith. You don't want to be the cause of them to stumble. And the only motive for that is charity. You just don't want them to get hurt. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And look at verse 32. There are times when you are with a certain group of people that you are tempted to say certain things that you wouldn't say to another people. And the reason is that you have your guard up a little bit more around one group of people because you don't want to, give yourself or God a bad name. But at the same time, remember something. If it's not acceptable to one group, it's probably not acceptable to the other. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And so if you have any doubt about something you're about to say, consider, in charity, whether it ought to be said, your love for the Lord, your love for each other, and recognize that as a person who has the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, you know what is acceptable. So say those things, and don't say those things that are not acceptable. Why? Doth not behave itself unseemly. Doesn't do something or say something out of character for a saint. Another thing that you'll do is you'll esteem others better than yourself. He says, seeketh not her own. You'll esteem others better than yourself and you will seek the wealth of others and not your own. Now that can be kind of hard if the person that you want to esteem better than yourself is not somebody that you like. Philippians 2:3. Philippians 2:3. People say, you know, I'm in the Lord. You know what they're saying? I can't stand them. That's what they're really saying. If you loved them, you'd just say, I love you. But you say, I love you in the Lord, and that's kind of like if it weren't for the Lord, I'd let go of the other thing that I feel for you, and what I'm feeling for you right now is I don't like you. Not today, not yesterday, and tomorrow's not looking so good either. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That changes a lot of relationships right there. You see, what usually messes up relationships is I'm better than you are. You're not, poor me. You're not giving me the same attention I'm giving you and blah, blah, and all that other stuff. When you esteem others better than yourselves and you're concerned about their profit rather than your own, because of charity, the Bible says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Your attitude is, what can I do to help you be better? That's charity. Another thing about charity here is it says it's not easily provoked. Another good way to say that is you're not easily offended. You say, well, what does charity have to do with that? Can anybody here quote Psalm 119, verse 165? great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I was talking to a friend of mine one time, and I had said something to him, and he asked me, we were together, good friend of mine, we were together, and he asked me a question about something, and I could see the potential for the decision he was trying to make to change him, to make him like a minister who had blown up his ministry because he was trying to get too big too fast. And I said, don't be a, and I named this minister. And then I walked off. And about 45 minutes later, as I was driving down the road, I got to thinking, man, that was offensive. I think I made my point, but I'm not sure that I made it in such a way that he would be happy with what I said, that he would even consider that I might think he might do that to the ministry and do what this other man did. So I called him and I apologized. I said, I need to call you and apologize. The way I said what I said was something that could have really easily offended you. And you know what he said to me? He said, Brother Welder, I doubt that there is anything you can do that would offend me or change my love for you. I said, whoa, can I have $100? I would put that thing to test immediately, you know. No. But I really appreciated that. I value that friendship, and to know that. And I believe what he said is true. I don't take advantage of that. I'm careful, obviously, not to bring offense, but I'm also not so careful that I can't say what needs to be said or do what needs to be done for fear that I might offend the person. I want to be that man. Not easily offended. And you know how you get there? Not easily provoked? By love. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Somebody came to me one day and said, I'm so offended by what they did. I said, you know what your problem is? You don't love the Word of God enough. What are you saying? I love the Word of God. Oh, wow. Excuse me. Let me just show you what the Bible says. You go home, think about it a while, and they call back and said, you know what? You're right. I had put my Bible down, and these things started getting to me. Picked my Bible back up, and I'm not nearly as worried about it now as I was. Isn't that amazing? Charity. So you don't let little things get under your skin. That's charity. Charity is long-suffering and kind. It's not envious, boastful, proud, unseemly, self-seeking, or easily provoked. Watch this. Rejoiceth not at, verse 6, thinketh no evil, the end of verse 5. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, today Hollywood sells based rejoicing on iniquity. News sells rejoicing in iniquity. They love to tell the bad things that happen. I mean, if somebody in Corpus Christi got saved in school last week because of the testimony of another child, their eternity has been changed and they are going to heaven, going to live with God forever. That's newsworthy. You'll never find it anywhere. You'll find the obituaries. You'll find all the bad news. You'll never find that. Why? People rejoice in iniquity. Charity doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't please me, or it doesn't please others who have charity, to find out something bad that happened to somebody else. Oh, I knew he had it coming. You could see that coming for a year away. Don't rejoice in that. It should sadden you that iniquity got the other hand in a brother or sister. Rejoiceth not in the wicked, rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So charity thinks no evil. Evil thoughts toward other people don't come up, either in lust or in vengeance. You won't harbor, when you have charity, you won't harbor wicked thoughts or evil thoughts toward others. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And listen, we come equipped in our human nature to have evil thoughts and to think bad about other people. It takes a lot of charity to override that natural tendency. Our natural tendency would be, well, you say, how do you know that? Watch kids in school. They bully each other when they're, you know, in the fifth grade. They say bad things about each other, and they make fun of each other. They pick on each other. That's the natural tendency. Charity has to come in great quantity to override that in our lives. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Here are seven things the Lord hates. They are an abomination to Him in verse 16. What are they? An heart that devises wicked imaginations. He hates that. And the remedy for a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations is a big dose of charity. You say, well, I don't have that much charity. Get on your knees and ask God to give you more. Charity rejoices in the truth rather than in iniquity, back in 1 Corinthians 13. You're going to find, you know what you're going to find when you have charity? Your joy and pleasure. You have joy and pleasure in the Lord, in His words, and in Christian fellowship more than you did in sin and in your prideful things. Well, we need to see these. We're doing good on time. Turn over real quick with me to Psalm 16. Turn to Psalm 16. This verse is very true, and in fact, it's practically true when we are literally with the Lord in heaven. Psalm 16, verse 11. But make the spiritual application. You are saved. You're in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and therefore you're at the right hand of God spiritually. Watch it. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Our greatest joys should come directly from the Lord and from fellowship with His people. And watch Jeremiah 15, 16 from His words. Jeremiah 15, 16. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you find yourself getting down in your Christian walk, just get closer to the Lord and get closer to His words. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy words were found and I did eat them. That's not just casual reading. That's somebody who is feeding on the words of God and digesting them. The words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. The joy and rejoicing of my heart. Man, that thing, getting close to the Lord and in love and getting close to His words in love will absolutely change your life and change your relationship to your spouse and others. And then he says, charity back here in 1 Corinthians 13, charity beareth all things. You know what that is? You'll be able to bear all that the Lord puts on you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Excuse me, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not if you don't love Him. It's heavier than everything you're carrying right now. But when you love Him, you say, put it on me. I can bear that. Paul had to bear even the marks of the Lord Jesus in his own life. The beatings that he took were like what Jesus Christ took. He took all of that and he bore those things out of charity for the Lord and out of those that he was ministering to. He really loved them. He really loved them. Believeth all things, the Bible says, and you'll believe all that the Lord has said. I'm going to show you a couple of verses here. Hopes all things, you'll hope in all that the Lord has promised. Endureth all things, you will endure all that comes as a result of loving the Lord and loving others. I'll show you two things. The Thessalonian church was a fabulous church when it came to this thing about charity. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You bear all things, you'll hope all things, you'll endure all things. 1 Thessalonians, watch the connection between their charity and their hope, their faith, and their endurance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul was praying for them in verse 2. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. That love precipitated their faith and their hope. They believed all things and they hoped all things. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look what happened to their charity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The second epistle, watch what's happened to their love. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, watch it, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Well, they had this great love, this labor of love, this in the first epistle, and a charity of every one of you all toward each other that abounded in the second epistle, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You endure all things, you hope all things, you believe all things. Charity. Charity. It's vital. And then he says, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity never faileth. When your love is real, it never fails. When your love is real, it never fails. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Listen, charity, which Paul said is the more excellent way, is the most essential factor in lasting relationships that you can have. Charity keeps you close to the Lord, keeps you close to your spouse, keeps you close to His Word, keeps you close to your family, keeps you close to each other. Pray and ask the Lord to help your charity abound. And you'll have this. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see clearly from the words of God this great thing called charity. Help us, O Lord, to have charity and to have it that abounds for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.